Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of The Miracle Man here on Wednesday, April 29th. This is the last show that I will be doing here in the month of April. When I come back Monday, it'll be in May, on May the 4th. And, of course, May the 4th be with you. Brought to you by Star Wars. Yep. Brought to you by Star Wars. Star Wars, Chewbacca, and everyone else in the Star Wars family. Regardless, I'm so glad that you've made the determination to join the show tonight. Whatever you're doing right now, making dinner, whatever it is that you're doing right now. And tonight's going to be epic, as it always is, every time there's a Miracle Man show. I apologize for the loud noise. I am in the car riding right now. It is very cloudy. It could be raining at any minute. So if it gets loud, bear with me. In a little while, in about 30-35 minutes, though, I should be, for the most part, cleared from the loud noise. So, like I said, though, right now we're good, and we're just going to plow through, just keep going. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about Daniel and the other three men that were in the fiery furnace. And I'm going through some of these that I might have taught on in the past, because some of these go along with what we're dealing with right now. And just think, the World Health Organization and CDC and other similar organizations, they all want everybody to bow down to their narrative and their strategy, their agenda, which is called lockstep. And there's certain things into it. I just know that's what it's called. Not going to get into all the details, but they have their things. And we, as Christians, we serve God. We don't worship the CDC or the World Health Organization. We just follow wisdom from God. Wisdom. We don't live in fear. I don't live in fear. If you listeners choose to live in fear, you need to stop it right now. And here's why. If you are full of fear, you can't have faith. If you are full of faith, can't have fear. More fear, less faith. More faith, that's how it works. And those disciples, when they were sitting in the boat yelling, "Master, Master, we're going to drown," they weren't acting in faith. They were acting in fear. You of little faith, little to no faith, because at that point, their fear level was at all-time high. Their faith was extremely low. and there's things that you'll do when you're in fear that are very different from when you're in faith. When you're going in faith, you'll make even your confession will change. The way you see it will change. You'll look at it with hope. And you'll pray. And you'll believe God. Do this as a business owner. Do this as, you know, with your kids. Do this, you know, if you're a pastor, about your church. Just believe God. And believe God that the case numbers keep going down. And I believe that something, that God is going to do something extremely, I believe that God is going to do something very mighty extremely soon in regards to this. I had heard certain dates from certain people, and one of them it's tomorrow, but we won't know for sure until it's happened. I just know that soon something is going to happen, and this thing is going to get turned over on its head by Jesus. COVID-19 will die. And for those of you wondering, is it going to come back in the fall? No, it's not. Because, you know, all these organizations that I named before, they all think it'll probably come back in the fall, possibly more than... You know why it's called 2019? Because it was here in November and December. In December, I was told that certain hospitals had no room left because people had these respiratory deals and they didn't know what it was. Then they found out what it was. Last night, the other night we had talked about how God wants to heal our land. We talked last night about how God wants to give us a future. And it's not a future of uncertainty. This is not the new normal. I will say it again. This is not the new normal. It's not. Oh, I heard one governor say, oh, normal requires a vaccine. What? A vaccine? Jesus is the, last I checked, Jesus is the vaccine. The power, the blood of Jesus is a vaccine. The word of God is a vaccine. It is. So as for the vaccine, I have the vaccine. The vaccine is Jesus. I just know that God has his hand on this and on us. And we're going to not just survive, we're going to thrive. But we got to keep praying. We got to keep praying for our governors, for our, for those in cities. The Attorney General is looking into some certain cases that could have reaching implications. I hope he rules the right way. I hope he rules in favor of it's time to reopen, because it's time to reopen. The longer they wait, the more of a chance there is that certain businesses would be less apt to make it and wouldn't. Because every day that your business is closed is a day where they don't make money. And part of why we have to get back to work, we have to get the churches back open, We don't have a choice. We cannot continue to run this country as a hospital. These other countries cannot do the same thing either. You cannot quarantine those that are healthy. That is called tyranny. Now, quarantining the sick, that's biblical. Even though the Q word may, even though I've never found the Q word in the Bible. Now, isolation, you know, in Exodus, those certain people that are to be isolated, like what talks about Leviticus and that, and other, in other words, that's God saying that these certain infected people are supposed to be quarantined. Like they're to be quarantined outside the camp or whatever for 7 days. Miriam had to, like Miriam, because of what she did, she got leprosy, had to be quarantined. Remember? Yep, she had, but then she was welcomed back. She was restored. But that's what we're going to be dealing tonight with the fiery furnace. And what happened? I'm trying to think. I don't think there is. But we've all been through the lion, through the fiery furnace in some way or another. We've all been in the lion's den. Those are two different accounts that involve Daniel, because the three boys were first in the fiery furnace, and then Daniel went in there. But they were worshiping. They weren't sitting there, but the guards, they were fearful. Those guards were fearful. And Jesus went in that fiery furnace. And no matter what you're going through, he's there. And we're gonna be dealing with that tonight. He will see you through. It's not a question of if, because I know that he will. He will. He's always on time. He's unending, and his favor is mine. And it's just so beautiful, the love of Jesus is. I'm just so proud to be born again, water baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes, I am. Now we're going to pray, as we always do and have been lately, and dealing with these spirit. First, let me tell you, remind you of your homework assignments. Number one, Psalm 23, every day out loud. Every day out loud. At 12 noon, every day. You are to curse the virus, call it dead, believe God that it dies. And don't just make it some little thingy. No, you take authority over that thing. Take authority over that thing. Have to. You have to take authority over that thing. Can't just let it do its thing. Number three, Psalm 91. Read it every day. After that, Yeah, after that, you're supposed to also put up a sign that can preach. Like, fear is a liar. Fear has no place. Death has no hold on me. Something that can preach. That when your neighbors are out walking, they can read it. When they're driving down the road, they'll see it. Because God's called us all to preach, regardless of how we're doing it. We're all in the pulpit of the house of God with a microphone in one hand and your Bible in the other. But we all do. We all have a ministry. We all have a place to preach, and that's our pulpit. Your pulpit could be social media. My pulpit is right here. How are you called to minister and preach? That's your pulpit. Is that a good way to put it? That is your pulpit. That sign could be your pulpit. Right now it is, because you're getting the word out to people. Because fear is a liar. Death has no hold on me. Or whatever you decide to put on. They say, yeah, based on a scripture. Don't just put something that sounds good. Put something that's based on a scripture. Amen. And because I think that's a really good idea. Also, we pray. I always give you these points every time. Number one, we are cursing the virus, first and foremost. We're taking over authority over it. We pray that it dies, falls to the ground, and that it's not coming back. Number two, we are cursing the demons behind it. Quran the moron, that is the name of the demon that has caused so much of this fear, that so many people are fearing about it, are feeling about it, and has caused everybody to just be so many people to just be so afraid. And we need to bind that spirit. As part of that, we are also binding stupid. Is the spirit that has gotten onto our elected officials that have caused them to make executive orders that infringe on the Constitution. Oh, and by the way, America has the Constitution these other countries don't have, like what we have. That's why in America it's so unbelievable that these governors have done this, that most states have shut down churches, bars, restaurants, and many other things. You're right. You're right. Commerce. I'm not just saying them all. If I said it like that, commerce. You know, commerce, and gyms and et cetera, and they've shut it all down. Luckily, you're seeing states deciding to open up, including right now Georgia, Tennessee, and Texas. Oklahoma is doing it as well, as is South Carolina. Alaska and Colorado are also to a degree, and Montana. Now, those three are the only three that I know of that are taking all these steps outside of the southern U.S. And I'm so glad that more of these governors are starting to realize. I think you're going to see some of these governors pay a dear price. I think you're going to see other elected officials pay a dear price. No, I'm not going to get it. You say, what about the parties and that? No, I'm not. I'm not going to get into the party thing. But we're not going to be a communist country or a socialist. Your president said that before, a couple of years ago, and he means it. We will not become one. And I'm glad that he's leaving it up to the states. I do feel like in some cases he could ask them to move quicker, but not issue the order himself, because the states, that means it's to be up to states. Not like Italy or somewhere else. I think as we get closer to summer, you will see things open up organically. In some places, they won't even wait for the state. Now in a place like Georgia in particular, really what's left to open, aside from at 50% or more capacity, what really is left? You know? Well, yeah, like I was saying, what really is left? I mean, maybe some sports facilities and that or what have you, or some bigger places, but other than that, as far as types of places, most of them have been clear. But in many other places, you will see places deciding that not waiting, I have to open. People are tired of sitting in their house. It's almost summer. In some parts of the country, summer starts in a couple of weeks. Not necessarily the getting out of school, but I mean where it starts getting upper 80s plus, like in a lot of parts of Florida, that'll start in the next week or two. Well, I won't comment. I mean, it sounds fun. But praise God, I saw a thing today that had said that Sunday the amount of people who flew was up 50% compared to like either 1 or 2 weeks prior. It was literally up 50%. So people are getting out. People are starting to rise up. America has been extremely cooperative. And I think there's a way to not give in, but at the same time, not be destructive. That's why we have to find that balance. Keep being Mr. Cooperative. Okay, I better shelter. But at the same time, don't destroy. You know what I mean? In your case here in Michigan, I'd go right to the national because to bar. Because,
well, yeah.
I have to turn.
What are you looking at? What are you trying to find? What are you trying to find at CVS? Sorry. Anyhow, anyhow, listeners, like I was saying, you have to contact bar or your state congressperson. as whoever your representative is based on your region of Michigan. Do the same thing in your state, wherever you are. Example, Ohio. I'm waiting on you, Ohio. To move a little bit quicker. Moving a little bit quicker than Michigan, but still they can move faster. And so we just got to play related to that. Number three, yeah, number one, I told you number one and number two, we're cursing the virus and the spirits behind it. Number three, we're praying for the leaders of authority over us. Number four, related to that, we are praying for the economy, that it not only opens up, but that it opens up strong. Because we need to believe God for that V-shaped recovery and that people get their jobs back. You yawned at that?
All of them.
Yes, all of them. That they all get their jobs back, so they can earn the living. And so we have to take authority over all that and just believe God. Number five, we are praying for our healthcare workers, those on the front lines. Number six, we're praying for our pastors. We're praying for our pastors. We believe in God that they are being led by the Lord, that they are being comforted, and in a lot of, I'm sure in many places you're going to start to see some of these churches open, especially in places in states that I just named. I think in Texas you're going to see, I think you're going to see a lot of things happen with churches in Texas. And in other places, I think it's going to be great. And so we just got to believe God that the pastors are strong and that these churches reopen. And so we're going to pray now. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight so grateful to get to be a Christian, so grateful for who you are. And I take authority over this virus right now. You get your hands off of this country right now. You are broken. Your virus has no power. It's broken. It's finished. And thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing, that your hand is involved. You are so much greater. You are so much stronger. Lord God, I curse the Koran. Koran, your demon is broken. You can take your virus with you out, off of the face of this earth, country, off the earth. Because once it's off the earth, it can't spread no more. And that's the way we're going to get rid of this virus. Because you, Jesus, are in charge. You are. And stupid, I curse the spirit of stupid. It is off from our elected officials. It is off of them. And fear, I curse you right now in the name of Jesus. Fear, you do not have hold on your people. It is gone. It is gone. It is gone. It is gone. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. May peace come to your people. Peace. Peace, 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 peace. Spirit of tyranny, I curse you in the name of Jesus. You are broken once and for all. Off. from America. You're bound.
And Jesus.
Jesus, freedom. You are loosed. Freedom. Allowed by the Constitution and allowed by Jesus. Yes, yes. Yes. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for these leaders, that you're dealing with these leaders that will have to give an account to you, that they'll have to give an account to their constituents. They'll have to give an account to you on Judgment Day. I thank you, Lord God, that they would make the right decisions based on you. May they repent, the ones who decided not to make the right decisions. May they repent. And if they're not supposed to be in there, may they just resign. And get in there someone who is more competent and confident and knows what they're doing. Because the last thing I want is leaders that aren't competent or confident. But it'll be competent, I said. That's what I said. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand would be on these leaders and that the right leaders would be in there. And I thank you for that election in November regarding that people will vote in, that the church will vote. Yeah, because you heard what he said. You heard what he said last night, and I think he's very much right. And regardless to that, I mean, in regards to that, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that the church votes, that the church goes out and votes. That as the church votes, the right people will be brought in, and we'll be able to see stability return, like it was for the first couple of years that the president was there. Even a year, like the last year and a half, that stability will come back because you want it to be stable, Jesus. Stability will come to this nation, and growth will come. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for the economy. I thank you, Lord God, that things are starting to open up. May more places open up, more states open up, more countries open up. More people get back to work and earning the money. May they get their jobs back. And if the job they had isn't the one they wanted, may they find a new one that they like. And I just thank you, Lord God, that for pent-up demand for people going in and buying and spending. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon the economy and the economy of the church also, Lord God. Thank you that you will strengthen the economy of the church. May the tithing go up. May the tithing go up. May the offerings go up. Because the economy of the church includes the money that people in the church make. People go to the church. You see what I mean when I say, like, the church economy? Is that a good way to put it? I pray that the church economy goes sky high. As your word says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. As 2020 is to be a year of plenty. Plenty of increase for those who seek God. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us. And now, Lord God, I thank you for the healthcare workers, that you strengthen them wherever they are, whatever they're doing, that you just strengthen them as they're ministering, as they're dealing with these patients, COVID or otherwise, that you are just strengthening them. May they lead people to you, Jesus. May they just be strengthened. And now, Lord God, I also thank you for our pastors. Thank you for Dr. Barclay, that you're blessing him, that you're strengthening him, and that you're using his voice to preach, to teach. Lord God. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon our pastors. Thank you that these churches will open soon. In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth. Now, I want to encourage you, listeners, to please call into the show. If you want to talk to me, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that's 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompt, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. You'll be taken through a call screener. And I'll be notified that we have a caller. And then you'll be able to talk to me about generally anything you want to talk about, but not politics, because I did not design it to divide people up. I want to breathe life into people. And so that's why I try to keep politics out of it. But as the election gets closer, you will continue to hear me say how important it is that we don't just vote as Christians, that we vote Christian. And you're going to hear me say that, especially as we get into October. Especially because of right now, the point has to be made very clear that we have to vote Christian. If we don't, we could easily be done, country as we know it. We'll be done as America as we know it. We'll be done. So we have to vote Christian. Have to. We don't have a choice, do we? We don't have. And so that's why that's so important. Now, I'm going to sing a couple of songs, then we're going to open up the Word of God. The one who made the deaf to hear is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the blind to see is the one who made the blind to see is moving here in front of me, moving here in front of me. The one who made the deaf to hear is silencing my every fear, silencing my every fear. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles, Lord. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. The one who does impossible is reaching out to make me whole. Reaching out to make me whole. The one who put death in its place, his life is flowing through my veins. His life is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles, the Lord. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Yes, Lord Jesus. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles, God of miracles. The God who was and is to come. The power of the risen one. The God who brings the dead to life. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God who was miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Hallelujah. You're the miracle-working Jesus. Thank Jesus for the miracle that you're believing him for. Just lift your hands before him. Just thank him right there. He's awakening the hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for him, and him alone. He has come like a rain showers on a barren plain. So my heart, tongue confess, Jesus Christ, hope of man. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. My anchor never shaken. All my hope is in you. He's awakening the hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for him, and him alone. He has come like the rain showers on a barren plain. So my heart, tongue confess, Jesus Christ, hope of man. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. My anchor never shaken. All my hope is in you. He's bringing hope to the hopeless, giving his arm to the broken, sharing his home with the orphan. He is my joy, he is my joy, he is the song that is embracing. He is the song we're declaring, he is the song we're declaring. He is the joy, he is my joy, he is bringing hope to the hopeless. Father's heart we're embracing. He is the Lord rising. He is my joy. He is my joy. Giving hope to the hopeless. Giving his heart to the broken. Sharing his home with the orphan. He is my joy. He is my joy. Hope arise. Let 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 hope arise. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. My anchor never shaken. All my hope is in you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are our hope, Jesus. You are strength like no other. You are hope like no other. Reach us to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are, for what you've done, for what you're going to do in your people tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these people who have made the determination to tune in tonight to learn something about you. Thank you that they would just receive from you tonight.
Amen.
And I just give you all the praise, all the power, and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And I thank And I make my confession over this program tonight, Lord God, that sponsors come into this program, finances come in. I thank you, Lord God, that increases, big time increases in the listenership come to this program. And most importantly, I thank you that souls, a huge harvest of souls, comes into the kingdom of God as a result of this radio program in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. Go to Daniel chapter 3. Woo! Praise God, Daniel chapter 3. Okay. Daniel chapter 3. And again, I'm calling this God Can Bring You Through No Matter What It Is That You're Going Through. That's the title. And I want to encourage you to be a part. Don't just sit there and watch. I've found it. If you haven't found it yet, go ahead and catch up to me. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Now King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high, 9 feet wide, set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. That'd be like all the different departments of the state or the federal government. Like everybody. All the accountants, all the different organizations. That's basically what that would be like, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And they were set, and they had set that thing up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music. You must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. As soon as the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all of the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At that time, some astrologers came forward and they denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of all the music must fall down and worship the image of gold that whoever you have set up. And that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a fiery furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have seen, that you have sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods, nor do they worship the image of gold that you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn and all the other kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image that I made, very good. If you don't worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a fiery furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. Thrown into the blazing furnace. The God we serve, capital G, God, the Lord we serve, is able to save us from it. He will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. These men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound, thrown into the blazing furnace. But the king's command was so urgent and the flames were so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And those three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there three men that we tied up in the and threw into the furnace? They replied, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached. He then approached the opening of the blazing furnace, and he shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego! And Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued the servants. They trusted in him, and they defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to worship any god except their own, the Lord. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces, their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Now, you see here, originally they had different names, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Forget what Shadrach had been, but Meshach had been Mishael, and Abednego had been Azariah. They all had their names changed, though. Had their names changed. Then they had the fire. No, excuse me. They had He put out a decree. He set up that image, the golden image, 90 feet long, high, 9 feet wide, and some feet long. And they had that big ceremony. And everyone to worship the image. Everyone was to bow down when they heard the music. And anyone who didn't would be thrown into a furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the three boys, we won't do that. Our parents taught us better. We don't serve other gods. We only worship the true God, the God of heaven. We serve the true God. And they were unashamed of him. They were not ashamed of Jesus at all. They said, for the first time. They play the music. Then there's some astrologers. What do you got, Mama? What do you got? But anyhow, there's these astrologers. And the astrologers, who were, you know, not great people, they came and said, didn't your folks issue a decree? Nebuchadnezzar, you and all you government officials, didn't you guys issue a decree and set up the thing? I mean, the image. Didn't you issue an executive order that commanded everyone to bow down and worship the image? Nebuchadnezzar says, yes, I did issue the order. And, well, there's three guys that are Jews that you might want to talk to them, because they did not bow down. So Nebuchadnezzar talks to the three boys, and they say, yes, this is true. We did not worship the image that you set up. We worship the Lord Jesus. The image that you set up. So they did not worship the image. He said, okay, I'm going to try again. And guess what? They didn't bow down this time either. They did not worship. They did not bow down to the image. They did not bow down to the image. They did not bow down. They did not give in. Everyone else had bowed. They did not. So, he said, Nebuchadnezzar said, boys, come with me. What are you doing, Mama? He told the soldiers to go as far as to heat the furnace to 7 times hotter temperature. 7 times hotter than normal. So assuming maybe it's at like a 70. I mean, if the temperature of a house is set to 70, how hot do you bet it is inside that furnace? I'm at normal. Are you like maybe 90?
Yeah.
So if it's 90, we'll say... like 630 degrees. 630 degrees. Think about that. Extremely high temperature. Those flames were so hot that it killed all those soldiers. But Nebuchadnezzar asks his officials and his governors and those other people, he asks them, guys, didn't we throw 3 guys in the fire?
Yeah.
Why is there 4? God had went into the furnace with them. God was in there with them. They did not get burnt. They did not get burnt. Their hair did not get singed. Their robes did not get burnt. They did not smell like smoke. It was extremely hot in that furnace. And they were in there praising the Lord. They weren't praising the Lord because they were in the furnace. They were praising the Lord in what they were going through. Not thanking Him for what they were going through. You say, Miracle Man, do you think they like being in the furnace? No! No, then Jesus told them, changed his mind and said, you know what? I'm making a new rule. Those who don't worship and say things against the true God of heaven will be thrown, will be cut to pieces. Their houses will be rubble. They'll be destroyed. Caused Nebuchadnezzar to have a change of heart. I can think of so many of our government officials right now that could use a change of heart because they have decided to worship the God of science, essentially. You say, what do you mean? Miracle man. Well, including in this country, but not only in this country. So many states decided to shut down the church. They decided to shut down the church, and they decided to limit the size of, to either shut down or curtail the church by limiting the amount of people in the church. And make it so that everyone has to be 6 feet apart. Let me tell you something, listeners. In the church, in the spirit-filled church, they lay hands on, we lay the hands on the sick. Let me ask you, Dad, how do you lay hands on someone from 6 feet apart?
Yeah.
Oh, see, cause you're like several feet apart. See? Yep, I couldn't find it. Because you can't. Can't do it from 6 feet apart. But it makes it. Now if people are at their seat, you can minister to them when they're at their seat through the pulpit or whatever. But when Jesus said, any of you who are sick, call upon the elders of the church and they shall pray. He didn't say from 6 feet apart. Nor did he say throw oil. No, when I go up there every service, their hand is basically on me just about, or it is touching my head. That's not 6 feet. That's not inches either. Because they're right next to me. And you see all these officials, they decided to bow down to the image of what they would call public health, or they would call tyranny, or they would call, they call it, saving lives. No one in my church has gotten the coronavirus. And they're not going to either. Because the anointing of God. Trying to think of someone who got sick because they went up to the altar for prayer after the service when they were believing God for something. No, I can think of many more people where they actually got healed instead. Not made sick. Healed. Because hands were laid on them and the prayer was made. Not from 6 feet apart. For all you know, they could have had something that could have been contagious. And maybe even maybe they were asymptomatic. And they had never had the symptoms. And it just fell off. I'm sure that's happened to people. Where they were healed of something that they didn't even know they had. And the power of God just took it off. Yet our officials have decided to put this ahead of God. And I think many of these officials are going to pay a dear price when they get voted out by the church in November. Or I think you're going to see a bunch of them possibly get recalled via votes. I think you'll see many of them. You may see some even resign, and the next one in command would come in. And so you just got to pray. I wish the church wasn't being so cooperative from the start. Where was the church earlier in March, in mid-March, when all the churches shut down? Where were they? I guess they were all like, okay, we can't have church. I don't like it, but it is what it is. Yep, they basically decided to bow down and be quiet. And they just, okay, we can't meet, hoping like it would just be 2 weeks and they'd be gone. Hey, you want to know what? Had the church risen up the first time, I think we could have been over this thing by now. Had the church risen up and truly stood for what they believed in, and go as far as to the curse the spirits that have gotten on these officials, and not just curse the virus. Had they contacted their governors and such more so earlier, had they been protesting earlier in March, we could be in a lot better place. You say no, I'm not calling on you to be disruptive by any means, but do call your governor. In our case, though, we should go straight to the Senate, to the National Senate, because the House. Call the representative that represents us and let them know how you feel. And let them know not just about you as a Christian, but as a Constitution. Because, and let them know if you're a parent, you know, let them know. Say, say you're a mom and you have a job that's been labeled non-essential. You got to call them and let them know, you know, I feel like my rights have been violated by your orders. I'm first and foremost a Christian. I feel like I should have the right to go to the house of God and worship. And let them know, you know, I'm a parent. I'm a father, a mother of a couple of grateful children. I want to be able to put meat and bread on the table by my own means with no handouts. But you on the other hand have made decisions, and I want to encourage you to rethink what you're doing. I want you to rethink what you're doing and open, and you got to call them. Let them know. Write them. Email them. Bombard them somehow. But by all means. Also, as you're doing it, you got to be praying to God, too. Because if all you're doing is bombarding them, but not praying to God, you got to be praying to God, too. Because prayer can do more than just bombarding somebody can do. I really do believe this, and I think we're gonna see some fallout for this. I think you're gonna see some officials in cities and states across this nation that their awakening is coming, and I think in some cases it might not be pretty. And the Lord's going to reign, my prayer is just that everything is dealt with fairly.
Yep.
And dealt with the right way by Jesus. Because Jesus is the ultimate judge beyond William Bauer. And I'm sure Jesus is not happy at all at what many of these governors have done. He would say right now, you're keeping my people away from the house where they can go to be healed. To be healed, to be set free, to be delivered of whatever it is. And to be delivered from abuse, to be delivered from whatever it is. Because do you know right now that with this lockdown, that drug abuse is very high. Alcohol abuse is extremely high. Child abuse is very high. Consumption of porn is very high right now. And all these other terrible vices are very high right now. Abortions are high because people can't help because they've been shut down because over a virus because they can't make money because they've been shut down because of a virus that as hopefully they will soon realize that it's really not that much worse than the flu. That yes, it's lethal. Flu is also lethal, but we know much more about the flu. And just because you don't know anything about a certain virus doesn't mean, okay, shut everything down. There's what's called wisdom. Wisdom says maybe take some precautions, but not shut it down. But I think that's exactly what wisdom says. Caution, not shut down. So in this case, that's what it says. Caution. But they've decided to, I think they're gonna pay a price. But you see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not bow. They did not bow. They worshiped Jesus. They worshiped the Lord, their God. They did not bow down and worship. They were given a second chance. They did not bow down and worship. That we worship the true God. I wish the church was more awake. My hope is that they're being awakened. A few years ago, before this, I thought in certain ways that the church was being awakened. They knew, at least when it came to voting, it seemed like for an election, they were awake. Then it seemed like the next time they were awakened, they stayed awake in many places, but in others they had fallen asleep. And then God was in the middle of starting something so great in our church. I told you before, I was starting to notice things. Just before, just during, and just after the Holy Spirit conference. But I know something. Well, I know when my church opens, in Jesus' name, that anointing will come right back to where we had been. And we won't lose any of it. Oh, so we've been out for a while. Oh, that doesn't mean the anointing has to leave. And I think we're going to see great revival happen in the house of God. And I think if we have any time left at all, that will happen. Because he said, the day that I come will be a day that you do not expect it. We all expected him to come tomorrow. It's every Christian everywhere expected him to come tomorrow. I don't think he would. Would he? Because God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. But buttons can be pushed, and that can speed it up. And what have you. But like I was saying, when they were in the fire, they didn't give thanks. They weren't given thanks because they were in the furnace. They were given thanks because God was with them. And then they explained to Nebuchadnezzar and all those officials after they came out and to the media. I imagine there were members of the fake news media at the time. And I'm sure there was fake news back then, right? They were probably, yep, there were fake news reporters back then, I'm sure. There were a few true ones, but there were also some phony ones, I'm sure. You had your CNN, constant negative news, your ABC, your ABCs of fake news, you had your CBS, and also your MS. They're just crazy. You say, Miracle Man, where'd you come up with all these? One of them I made up. A couple of the other ones I've heard. CBS I've been trying to come up with one for, but I'm having a hard time. That's why I didn't. But anyhow, you had those reporters, the heralds. Of course, they didn't have TV back then, but they had, it would be on paper. Or they'd have like a herald guy who would stand outside and report it, and people would hear it, right? Yeah. And now, of course, and there was some that were talent like it was, others, but maybe they were interviewing other people, seeing what the hell they saw. Yeah, the guys were in the furnace, and what have you. And they'd all, and you know they'll try ways to spin it, come up with something. But they, and then the governor, and then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, he told them, there is no one like the Lord. And he told them, issued a new executive order that said, anyone who speaks against the Lord will have his house ruined, and he will be cut to pieces. Obviously, in the NIV, it says it different from executive order, but when you issue satraps and that, they didn't have a chance to vote on it. Where normally, or maybe for certain things, they had the right to vote on these certain. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord God, that they take this to heart and that we would realize that God is always with us no matter what we're going through. And that we would thank the Lord in everything, not for everything. In trials and tribulations, we would thank him in it. And we would continue to give thanks to the Lord. And they give you all the honor, glory, and praise for that in Jesus' name. And I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no fire, no flood, no rat, no rapist, no sickness, no disease, no fire, no flood, no crash, no terrorist, no coronavirus. For you have given your angels charge over us to keep us, and we're going to be safe and sound, and we're going to live in great Jesus. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, I sure love you, listeners. Praise God. Until next time, God first, God always.